Something that people do from time to time when the circumstances dictate is that they make announcements. It may be a verbal announcement. You tell people around you that you've got a new job or you've got engaged or that you're going to retire. It may be a non-verbal announcement. You just drive up in the new car that you've bought, or to show you're sorry, you just present the bunch of flowers. Or when you've had bad news or someone else has had bad news, you just stand and shake your head, and it's a kind of an announcement of the awfulness of what has been passed on to you. There are different ways of making announcements, and I suppose nowadays social media is a major way of making announcements. Today is the Sunday before Easter Sunday, the day we traditionally call Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people cut down palm branches and waved the palm branches to welcome him into the city. And if that day was about anything, it was about Jesus Christ making an announcement, a non-verbal announcement. In fact, the only time he speaks in the whole event is sending the disciples to collect the donkey and to say the Lord has need of it. He doesn't say anything else in this whole story. So what was Jesus saying? That's the question we have to ask ourselves as we read of him riding into the capital city on this donkey. What was he saying as he did that? This was an intentional statement that the Savior was making. And therefore, as we come to this Palm Sunday, it's important that we ask ourselves what exactly the Savior meant us to grasp from this. Let me first of all say that this was an announcement of the fulfillment of prophecy. A prophecy that had been made by the prophet Zechariah about 500 years before Christ. Zechariah had said in chapter 9 and verse 9 of his prophecy, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And that word of God had lain some 500 years, as it were, on the books, unfulfilled. It hadn't been kept by anyone. People were waiting for that king to come, to ride on that donkey and to enter the city of Jerusalem. So when Jesus borrowed the donkey, and isn't it fascinating how often Jesus borrowed? He borrowed Peter's boat to preach from. He borrowed the upper room to celebrate the Last Supper. He borrowed this donkey, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. If I could paraphrase Matthew Henry, he says, "Christians shouldn't be afraid to ask one another for favors, to borrow from one another, or to be too proud to do so, because it's a way in which we learn from one another our need for one another." But for Jesus to do what he did that day, he was announcing who he was as he rode into that city. He was announcing that he was keeping that word of God that was 500 years old. That's why this prophecy is quoted in other gospels as being fulfilled. Jesus is at the center of God's will. He is fulfilling God's plan for a king to come and to save his people. And as Jesus rides into the city on this donkey, Jesus is making the announcement, "I am that king. I am the one that God said would come. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, I love the determination of the Savior in this. You remember the words of Luke in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, that Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. You think about it for a moment. For Jesus to do what he did, to mount that donkey, to enter that city, it took guts. It took steely determination. The words of Psalm 40 rightly apply to him. "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." And Jesus knew that at the end of that week, he would go from this moment to a cross. But nevertheless, Jesus bravely and with determination rides into the city, clearly fulfilling the prophecy, clearly stating that he was God's man for this hour and for this mission. Could I ask you, are you planning to come back to church next week or not? I know there are nervous people, but I also know there are drifting people. People who have moved far from God over the pandemic season. And lots of people, the pandemic has crystallized the fear in their hearts, the fear, particularly the fear of dying. Can you not see Jesus here deliberately making his way to the house of God? As verse 11 says, to enter Jerusalem and to go into the temple. Jesus is about keeping the word of God. Jesus is serious about going to the house of God. These weren't options for Jesus Christ, and neither should these be options for you and for me, keeping the word of God and being part of the people of God in the house of God. Could I say to you gently, if you're happy to go to supermarkets, you're much safer coming to church. Church is much safer than supermarkets. And the example of Jesus, as I was thinking about the Savior and the example that he's fulfilling here, is an example to you and to me. We talk about following the example of Jesus. Well, here he is, going into this city, going to this place where he would fulfill his divine mission. And he does so bravely. He does so with determination. He does so with grit and with guts. The second thing we find here as we think about the Savior is this is a very different king to the normal way in which kings entered their capital cities. Normal kings, when they entered their capital cities, they rode on war horses, or they had chariots, the golden chariots sometimes, pulled by huge war horses, and they would have ridden those chariots through the streets of the city with huge displays of power and of military muscle. But this king comes on a donkey, on a colt, the sort of animal a poor man would travel on, and there's no ostentatious displays of wealth or of power. So what was Jesus saying as he rode into Jerusalem in this way? Again, wasn't he making an announcement? And the announcement was that he is a very different kind of king, and he is bringing with him a very different sort of kingdom, a kingdom that is not like the kingdoms of this world. Earthly kings and rulers are full of pomp, and they're often proud and opinionated, and they love wielding their powers. But this king is the opposite. He's meek and lowly of heart. He offers rest for the soul. He is not bringing rules in order to earn salvation. I remember years ago hearing a talk on Jesus, the great celebrity, but really, Jesus is the great anti-celebrity. He's the opposite of the celebrity world. You remember when he did miracles earlier in the gospel, he told people not to tell about those miracles because he didn't want people following him just for the miracles. He didn't want to be some showy, famous religious celebrity such as the people who perform on TV channels very often in the name of God. Warren Wiersbe says, this is the only time in his ministry that Christ actually planned and promoted a public demonstration. The only time. And here when he rides into Jerusalem on the donkey, it's the opposite of kings with their crowns, their palaces, their thrones, their guards of honor. And we've got to be careful when we read this and when we see the spirit of Jesus Christ that somehow we misinterpret what it means to serve Jesus Christ. Some people can show off in their prayers. Some people can show off in their preaching. Some people can show off in their performance, playing music or singing, and they think it's all about them and it's about showing off. Jesus Christ, as he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, says, my kingdom is a humble kingdom. We sang about pride being in the dust. This is the kingdom of Jesus. It's the opposite of the worldly kingdoms. My kingdom is not of this world, he said. And you and I have got to be careful that we don't make it about us. It's always only about him. I love the story of the first Archbishop of Tanzania, who, when he was first consecrated, said the following And I think he said this at his actual installation service. He said, "I want to be like the little donkey our Lord chose to ride on to enter Jerusalem. They laid their robes on it and they shouted, but the shouting was all for the Lord Jesus, whom the donkey was carrying." And that Archbishop of Tanzania, he had got it, hadn't he? That it wasn't about him, it's about the Christ he carries, that he bears, that he brings to the people. And he just wanted to be a donkey, lifting up Jesus, carrying Jesus to the people, as it were. And that's the spirit of true Christian service. He must increase, I must decrease. A different kind of king, bringing in a different kind of kingdom. And how did the people respond to all of this? And in one sense, as we look at it, they responded kind of appropriately, in a sense, at a superficial level. We're told in verse 7, the disciples threw their cloaks over the back of the animal for Jesus to sit on. That was an appropriate thing to do. It wouldn't have been appropriate for Jesus to ride bareback. A king needed to have a saddle or at least cloaks to ride on. The city folk, they spread their cloaks on the road, we are told, like a red carpet nowadays. Others cut palm branches. They'd been waving the palm branches like people wave flags when the queen comes into a town. These people were waving palm branches, which was the sign they used in Bible times for the arrival of a king. And they threw those on the road as if to pave his path. And people shouted words from the Psalms, particularly Psalm 118, which is a Messiah psalm. Hosanna, which means save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest, the people shouted. It was a bit like nowadays when a football team maybe wins a league or a cup, and they drive through the local town in an open-top bus, and people throng the streets. It's that kind of feeling. It's a celebration. It's a buzz. It's a carnival atmosphere. And people are shouting at Jesus, "God bless you, sir. Every blessing in your work. The place is electric. It's the talk of the town. The crowds are on the streets." It's appropriate, and yet it's very superficial. Because a week later, there weren't cheers, there were jeers. A week later, he wasn't a victor, he was a victim. A week later, he wasn't showered with praise anymore, he was showered with spittle. The week began with Christ riding on a colt, it ended with him carrying a cross. Why the change? Why the reversal of fortunes? Well, because the people were superficial. They just didn't get it. They wanted showbiz. They wanted power religion, signs and miracles. They wanted politics. They wanted the Romans kicked out. But Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to change lives. Jesus came to die for sin on the cross. And you know, it's an awful lot easier to shout for a miracle than it is to admit you're a sinner who needs to be saved. Let me say that again. It's an awful lot easier to shout for a display of power and a miracle than it is to admit you're a sinner who needs to be saved. And that's why when Jesus, in verse 11, entered Jerusalem and went to the temple, he looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And the next day, as we say here in Northern Ireland, he read the place out. We're told that he overturned the tables of the money changers, those who were carrying merchandise through the temple courts, he barred their way. Because the people had turned the worship of God. It was no longer a place of prayer. It was a place of profit. P-R-O-F-I-T. O-F-I-T. That sort of prophet, not P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Tell me today, how's your worship? Is it just superficial? Is it just wishing Jesus well on his journey? How's your prayer life? Have you had a good pandemic spiritually, or has your prayer life dried up? Has the plague of coronavirus been more of a plague on your soul? What about my soul? Have I been growing in my faith, or have I been going backwards? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came into this city, this was just not some, you know, some kind of jolly he was on. He came into the city to show his lordship. That's why when they went to get the donkey, no one had ever ridden on this donkey before, and normally the donkey would have thrown him off, hadn't been broken in. But this donkey allowed him to ride on its back. There's something of the Lord of creation here in this. The lordship of Christ. He came to display his lordship. Lordship over creation, lordship over the city. But is he Lord of your life? Is he Lord of my life? Are we just playing at religion like the people here were playing at religion? I finished some years ago. The American pastor Jack Hayford came to London for a visit. He did the usual sights in London, Buckingham Palace, St. James's Palace, Tower of London, all the landmarks. And that evening in his hotel room, as he reflected on what he had seen, and he thought about it, how as an American, he had no king and he had no royal family. But then it struck him. As a Christian, he had a greater king, and as a Christian, he belongs to a greater royal family. And he wrote the following hymn. We sometimes sing it. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority, flows from his throne, unto his own his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. This is the announcement. Jesus makes it bravely and clearly. I wonder, have you heard the announcement? And have you heeded the announcement? And is Jesus Christ King of your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how these words, majesty, worship his majesty, apply unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the majesty of the Savior, riding into Jerusalem on that donkey. Father, we praise you for that Palm Sunday. We praise you, Father, for the events of that day and how down through the years they still speak to us and they still challenge us as to whether Jesus is Lord of our lives. Help us, Father, to hear and to heed that call for Christ's sake. Amen.